The Coptic Orthodox Church has a wonderful tradition. Men and women throughout history have traveled with their own will, with the grace of God, hundreds, sometimes thousands of miles to profess their understanding and their faith, and in due course and in the same way, sometimes have given up even their lives, have become martyrs. And in the same spirit, I was sitting on the plane as I was coming thinking, what on earth am I doing? Traveling 11 hours to go to speak to a group of American teenagers, predominantly women, about feminism. Hopefully we will not reach martyrdom. I also beg for mercy. Following Amber Yusuf is difficult enough. So, before we start, we want to make a deal. Okay? Ladies, chip off the shoulder. Gentlemen, lose the chauvinistic attitude. Okay? Fair enough? Now we can speak properly. And I'm not going to speak to you only by my own opinion. I'm going to be speaking to you by this reality, which His Grace Amber Yusuf just spoke to us about. This is the teaching through which and with which we live, which is the Holy Bible. We want to be objective and open-minded. So bear with me and listen up. This whole idea of feminism has been linked into this series of lectures because it is one of the aspects and the factors which works to distance many of us from God. As science makes us doubt the Bible, as humanism makes us doubt the existence of God, as modernism makes us doubt the power of God, as postmodernism makes us doubt the existence of morality and ethics, feminism makes us doubt both the Bible and the church and its structures. It works at this. And we've got to understand what feminism is. There is a difference, and I want you to be very clear on this point. First of all, can I have gentlemen, aside from my father's the clergy, obviously. Gentlemen, please put your hands up. Ladies, please put your hands up. Oh, good. We've got to understand. We have to be sure. There is a difference between speaking about the rights of women, the equality of women, and about feminism. Feminism is a strictly socio-political movement which commenced in the 19th century in reaction to socio-political conditions. Socio-political movement in reaction to socio-political conditions. Yes, women were getting a hard time. The right of suffrage for women, the voting right, wasn't there. And from that stemmed the whole movement. But you then go from looking for rights of women to an extremity which has become known as feminism. Feminism will have you move one type of domination for another. It will have you move one type of persecution from one end to another. Feminism will have you believe that there is a very real and very strong conflict between morality and equality and the church, or equality and the Bible, or equality and the concept of God, which doesn't exist. It will have you believe that if you are a Christian, if you follow the Bible, if you go to church, you are subjected to a male chauvinistic institute which arrives at binding your rights. And on the extreme other side, it will drive some men to misunderstand the situation and enact a different type of persecution. Neither of these are valid. Let's talk about this in the light of the Bible. I need some volunteers, hopefully young men and women. Over here please, with Sharif. He's got some Bible verses and I want people to read them. I want some people over here. Can we have the first one? One of you guys there, please read. The book of Genesis chapter 1 verses 26 and 27 please. Anyone who's interested? Oh, there's a mic over here. One of the young ladies in the front row. Do you like to read? Come on. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We have to move quickly because we're bound by time.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Okay. God created them. Let us create man in our image. Let us grant them dominion over the world, over the seas, the lands. How did God create us in his image? Do you see God as having a head, feet, hands, arms? What is God? Who is God? Is God a human being like us? Is he a physical being like us? God is spirit. God is spirit. So when we are told that we are created in God's image and likeness, what does it mean? It means that the image that we are prepared and created in is the everlasting image of his spirit. It is the spirit that was created in us, which lives forever. When we die, the body decays, and the spirit lives on. So when we are told that we are created in God's image and in his likeness, God is neither male nor female. God has no sexuality. God has no gender. God is a spiritual being. We refer to God as the Father because our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, said, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven.'" When our Lord referred to God the Father himself, as he prayed, he said, "Father," and he went on. But in his essence, God does not have sexuality, because sexuality is something which is within us, which was created in us by God, that we may live on this earth. So we must understand one thing. First of all, God created us, male and female, in his image. Secondly, in the verse we just read, God granted dominion over all of his creation to male and female. Genesis 5:22. Gentlemen, stand please. What of the gentlemen? Come on, move, please. Genesis chapter 5, verse 2.
He created them male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created.
He created them male and female and blessed them. Did he just bless Adam? Did he just bless Eve? He created a male and female and he blessed them. So in the first verse, we have God creating them in his image and in his likeness equal. In his image and his likeness. In their essence, they're in the image of God. Second verse, he blessed them equally. Do we have discrimination so far? Yes, no? Thank you. Stay with me. Genesis 1:28, please. Next, young lady. One. Would you like to read? Sharif? Genesis 1:28.
Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth."
Again, God blessed them, male and female. Take the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over all of the creation. Was he just speaking to Adam? Was he just speaking to Eve? Discrimination so far? No. Matthew chapter 19 verse 4. Sorry I'm moving quickly, but there is so much that can be read. Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 19 verse 4.
And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male?"
Again, the last bit cut out.
Male and female.
He who made them at the beginning... Go on, blame it on the male microphone. Created them male and female. He didn't discriminate. He created them both the same way. Male and female. Discrimination so far? No. Now, why did he create them male and female? Because God knew that although he created us in his image and his likeness, he knew the weakness that we had. He knew that man could not live alone. And God said, "It is not good for man to live alone. I shall create for him a support, an aid, an assistant." They were created to help each other, to support each other. God created Eve to help Adam. This is the importance of Eve. The importance of Adam is that he is the first creation. The importance of Eve was that she was his support. Equal importance, equal place with God. God loved them both. God created them both. Can someone read Genesis 2:18 for me, please? 2:18. Come on, one of the young ladies. Do you like to read? Someone up the front. Like to read? Yep. Yeah.
And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him."
I will make him a helper what? Comparable to him. Did he say, "I will make him a helper a little bit less than him? A little bit more than him? I will make him a helper comparable to him." God does not discriminate. God created them that they may coexist. I'm sure you've all heard the little contemplation, these little contemplation cards that everyone has in their wallets, ladies. You know, those little poems and nice thoughts. One of them I read, which was quite sweet, which says that God did not create Eve from Adam's head, that she be above him, nor from his feet that she'd below him. Not from his front that she'd be ahead of him, nor from his back that she'd behind him. But he created her from his side that she be beside him, with him. God create... That was a good one, wasn't it? As long as you're smiling, I'm comfortable. Both sides. Listen, I could lose half of the audience at any time, so... Guys, I'm not just looking after them. Okay, being who is comparable, they coexisted. God created them that they be together. And this is why, side issue here, the whole idea of homosexuality is against the Bible. As His Grace and Bishop have said, not everything is relative. So, excuse me, I have some truth for you, there is right and there is wrong. Because there are things which were done in the way that God created them, and there are things which are wrong. We're not going to make value judgments. We're not going to say that these are bad people. But the whole concept is bad. It is not right. It does not fit into God. God created the male and female that they may support each other. Has anyone heard of Josh McDowell? He's a Christian speaker from the 80s, who, when he was speaking in true Southern United States form, said, if God had meant for homosexuality to have existed, he would not have created Adam and Eve. He has created Adam and Steve. Okay? God meant that they be male and female. This was the basis of the patriarchal family. This was the basis of the family unit. And this is why it is so important. The importance of the family unit is that it is a unit. It works together. It's not a matter of finding out who's first and who's second. It is which role each party has. And if you have two people of the same gender, of the same sex, they cannot coexist in the way that God wanted them to, because they do not carry out the same roles. And then you have this whole fluidness of the meaning of what a family is. The family is no longer a man, a woman, and 2.4 children. The family is now two men, two women, a single parent, anyone, anything. You make up your own boundaries. This was not God's intention in creation. Our Lord Jesus Christ came on earth first that he save us, that he shed his blood and save us through his blood, but secondly that he also set an example for us, that we may live as he lived, that we may walk the path that he has walked. Our Lord didn't discriminate. Our Lord sat with the tax collectors. He spoke to the Jews. He healed the lepers. He cured the sick. He didn't discriminate in any way. And then when we look at the way that he dealt with women, he didn't discriminate. There were women taking part in every possible section of what was going on, except one, and we'll come to that later. But the women were there as he taught. The women were there as he sat with people in their homes. The women were there on his way to the cross. The women were there at the foot of the cross. The women were there at the door of the tomb. It is the women who found out that he had risen. Is that discrimination so far?
No.
Discrimination so far?
No.
Thank you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was traveling, and he stopped with the Samaritan woman, even the disciples, the great disciples, as they walked down the road, said, what's he doing talking to this woman? What's wrong? What does he want? Our Lord didn't think twice about it. He knew that she was a woman. He knew that she was a Samaritan woman. He knew that she was a sinful Samaritan woman. And he sat there and he spoke and he dealt with her. There is no discrimination, neither in the Bible, nor with our Lord Jesus Christ, nor with God. Until now, there is no discrimination. Feminism will have you think that this whole Christian thing is a complete male-dominated, female-dominating institution. It's not. It's not. Can someone read 1st Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 14 to 21, please? Whose turn is it? Gentlemen? 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 21.
My
12:14-21.
For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not of a, I'm not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body.
Thank you, that's fine. We are talking about the wisdom of God. God does nothing for no reason. And I'm saying that in proper English. God does nothing. God does not do anything without a reason. The whole idea of men and women, male and female, husband and wife, it is not about who is dominant and who is dominated. It is about which roles each of them holds. They are different roles. They are different. But they are complementary. They are not conflicting roles, they are complementary roles. They go with each other. They help each other. Christianity is not discriminatory against women. It is not a target of feminism because it does not discriminate. It is not an idea of who dominates, but what each party does. I'll give you a thought. Tell me if this is true. We live in a strange age here. Okay? Strange age. You have a certain black Afro-American singer who shall remain nameless, who decided to change the pigmentation of his skin, changing him from black to white. Okay? You have other unnamed pop stars who are Afro-Caribbean in appearance, who change their hair from curly to straight. You have some unnamed Anglo-Saxon, white Caucasian female singers who will change their hair from straight to curly. You will have men who want to become more feminine, women who want to become more masculine. You have men who now get earrings and women who get tattoos. Everyone's crossing over. Everyone wants to be everybody else. Nobody's satisfied with what they want to be anymore. Everybody wants to be someone else. This is not an idea about feminism or about Christianity. This is the way our world is working now. No one's satisfied. I don't just want to be what I am. No, I want to be what you are as well. There is no more satisfaction in life. It's always greener on the other side. You know, everyone always thinks the other guy is having a wonderful time. You know, you'll hear this in domestic arguments sometimes. Oh yes, well you're out working all day, and no, you're at home sitting all day, and yes, you do this job, and no, you do that job, and yes, you look after these people, no, you look after... Everyone thinks everyone else is getting a much better deal. But when you look at it, we've all got an equally bad deal, believe me. And you know why? You know why we've got an equally bad deal? Because we don't belong here. We don't belong here. We are only here temporarily. That's why we get a bad deal. Because we are like a fish out of water. The spirit does not belong on the earth. The spirit belongs in the kingdom of God. And as long as we live on the earth, we are away from our life source. And we weaken, and we stumble, and we tire. We just want to live as ourselves. We just want to be who we are. We need to concentrate on our specific roles. Here comes the controversy. God dealt with all women equally. He dealt with all men equally. He gave them differing roles. Now, we have one issue which comes up, and it is, well, why can't women be priests? The priesthood of women. Hot issue? Yes? We're getting into the interesting stuff now? Now, I don't mean to be funny, and I will ask you a very serious question. I quite personally, and I honestly mean this, the whole idea of being able to bear a child and give birth to a child and to mother a child and to nurture a child is a wonderful thing. We know that in the first years of life, the child will grow much closer to the mother than to the father, biologically. Why can't men say that they're discriminated against because they can't be mothers? Really? Really? If you understood what an honor, and what a blessing this is, don't underestimate it. Do not underestimate it. Believe it or not, there have been studies carried out where they have tried that a man become pregnant and give birth. Now, it's obviously going to be cesarean, and they have implanted the embryo in an artificial sac, but it's been tried. The fact that priesthood was designated to men is not because they are any more important than women, but because this is their role. When we stood up this morning and you pray the Mass, and the bishop gets up to pray read the Bible, and you hear, "You are the priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Who are we speaking to? Who is the priest forever in the order of Melchizedek? Is it the bishop? Who thinks it's a bishop? Put your hand up. Who thinks it's our Lord Jesus Christ? We are speaking about our Lord. It is the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The priesthood now, the old priesthood, the priesthood of Aaron, changed. When the new high priest came, for he is our new high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, it became his priesthood. He became the priest forever. And the priesthood which came after that was the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you something. St. Mary, the Mother of God, the Theotokos, is the most honored and venerated saint in any of the traditional churches. God never does anything haphazardly. God accepts and respects our free will. But when he creates, because of his foreknowledge, because he is unlimited, God has no concept of before and after, past, present, future. He sees everything at the same time. Do you honestly think that when God created Adam and Eve, and he knew, not because he orchestrated it or he wanted it to happen, but he knew that they would fall, and he knew that he would have to save them, and he knew that there would have to be incarnation, did he not also know that he, as God incarnate, would have to be born of a woman? Would he create a lesser vessel for him to come from? Would he create a weaker, in terms of importance, vessel for him to come from? He created a vessel of honor that would carry him, that he may come and save all of humanity. And that was woman. That was Eve, who was the mother of St. Mary. God knew. He knew. Women shared every step of the way. even to the extent of the descent of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came down and descended, there were women present. The only two things that we do not have any recollection or any record of women being present at are two. One is the institution of the sacrament of the Eucharist, and two is when our Lord breathed into the face of the Holy Spirit, of the disciples, and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you remit will be remitted, and those which you retain shall be retained." They were not there when our Lord looked at them and said, "Go forth and baptize the whole world. Teach them as I have taught you." This isn't because they are worse or less important, but God created a designated role. We need to differentiate between two things. Differentiate between what is true and right, and what is a misuse of a certain situation. God's intention for humanity and for humankind is that all of humanity live in equality and to complement each other. He wanted to create one single picture, one picture made up of many parts. If this, and I'll be honest with you, okay, although this is what we say about feminism and about the role of the church and about the vision of God and the whole idea of God and men and women, let's be honest, this is abused sometimes. People misunderstand it sometimes. But so is the legal system in this country and any other country. There is a difference between the idea, the theory, and sometimes the false application. Our Lord Jesus Christ was not talking about false application. He was talking about the picture that He created for us. God never intended for discrimination in any way, due to creed, color, sexuality, whatever. These are the wrongdoings of humanity throughout history. And it has come about. But in the Bible, with God, with our Lord Jesus Christ, there is no discrimination. He didn't mean to discriminate against women when He said men should be priests. But because we all want to cross over, we all want what everybody else has. I'll tell you something, in England now, there is a new law which is out that gives men paternity leave. They say, why should the woman get maternity leave after she gives birth? The man should get it as well. What for? Why? They say because it helps with the bonding of the child and the father. Excuse me. Explain that one to me. Okay, yes, he can carry him in his own time, he can cuddle him in his own time, he can care for him in his own time, he can change him in his own time, but he has neither had the child within him for 9 months, nor has he fed him of an umbilical cord, nor has he nurtured him for 9 months, nor will he ever breastfeed him. So what are we talking about? We are talking about people wanting to be somebody else. It was never intended that women be discriminated against when our Lord instituted priesthood. And there are many roles for women in the church, both in the ancient church and in the current church. In the Old Testament, we had women as prophetesses. We had women as queens. We had women as righteous women. In the New Testament, we had them as deaconesses. We had them as martyrs. We have them as confessors. We have them in all different roles. Where is the discrimination? They are there side by side with the men. Something occurred to me as we were praying the liturgy today. If you think of the way in which the church hymns are structured and ordered, we don't prefer men against women. The first saint to ever be mentioned anywhere in any hymn is St. Mary, because she is favored before all, because she is the Mother of God, the vessel of our salvation. But then you find that even in the distribution of the saints, it's not men and women. It's no, first of all, you have the angels, well, without sexuality. And then you have the martyrs, men and women. Then you come to the confessors, men and women. Then you come to the saints, men and women. They're all mentioned together. If you think about it, there is no discrimination when you think that way. It's only when we think, oh, well, why can't we be priests? Tell me what else is discrimination? At the moment, one of the strengths of the Coptic Church is the Christian education movement. That is the foundation, the basis of the church. The teaching of our children, the way they come up, the way we nurture them, teach them, feed them spiritually. I would dare to say that 60-70% of those who serve in the Christian education movement are women. How does the church discriminate against a group to which it entrusts the future of its children? If I discriminate, I'm gonna sideline this guy completely or this girl completely. I don't want them to do anything important. But I'm not going to discriminate and say, here is my future in your hands. Please take this future, structure it, form it, teach it, give it the right direction. Where is the discrimination? The deaconesses now who serve. When you think of people entering the sanctuary, see, again, we have some misunderstandings. I'll ask you a question, put your hands up. Who thinks that it is only men who can enter the sanctuary? Put your hand up. The sanctuary being in Hekan, around the altar. Who thinks it's only men who can enter the sanctuary? Come on. Dare to raise your hand. Who thinks it's only men? Okay, well, you're wrong. It's not only men. It's not only women. It is only the servants of the altar. If there is a man who is not a deacon, who is not serving the altar, he doesn't have the right to enter the sanctuary. It is the servants of the altar. It doesn't have to do with him being a man. He has to be a deacon and a servant of the altar. There are deaconesses in the church. But again, according to our tradition, our tradition is not to do with, well, this was back then. There is nothing throughout the whole tradition in the Bible which gives a deaconess in the Bible any sort of sacramental role. They have a social role. They have a diaconate role. They serve. They serve socially, they serve the people, they serve. But not sacramental. In the family, in the church, men and women have roles, and they are complementary. They work with each other. Again, please differentiate between what I'm saying as the way things should be and misapplications of these things. I'm not talking about some of you who may have experienced either firsthand or through your friends or whatever, families which are male-dominated in a chauvinistic way, because this is not what we teach. We talk about, yes, the patriarchal family as the man being the head of the church, the man being the head of the family is Christ, the head of the church. Quickly, could somebody read Ephesians 5:22 for me? These papers are increasing. Oh dear, thank you. Ephesians 5:22, please. Ladies, quickly.
submit to your own husbands as to the Lord.
Okay, that's a hairy one. Yeah? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. We all, ladies, you think about that verse and you cringe. Yes? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Can someone read 5:25 for me? Quickly, please. Quickly. 5:25.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Husbands, love your wives as Christ the church gave himself, gave him life, gave his life for her. Ladies, you're not asked to sacrifice your life. Our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for his church. It is not about asking about submission. It depends what kind of submission we're talking about. It is not a submission of servitude. It is not a submission of power and weakness. It is a submission. I have a request from some of you that please could you switch your cell phones off if you haven't done so already. It is a submission of the church to the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a submission of the church to the Lord? How does the church submit to the Lord? Does our Lord think of us as servants? As slaves? Can someone read Galatians 4, 6 and 7, please? Galatians 4, 6 and 7.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of the Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir to God through Christ.
You are no longer a slave, but a son. We are no longer slaves, we are sons and daughters of God. It is the submission of a son or daughter to a father, not to a slave, to a master. And this is the submission that we're asked for. We are asked to submit as the church submits to the Lord. It is a submission of love, of understanding, a submission of coordinated effort, a submission of complementing one another. Not a submission of being a servant or a slave. And that is misunderstood. Yes, I know we all get to the part of the wedding where it says, and you should submit to him and call him master as... And everyone laughs. Okay, that's a cue. I think this is a standard. I think we have to put this, we've still got the synod. It has to be put now in the subtitles of our tradition. It is tradition of people to laugh in this part. Because we take it so personally. It is not a submission of servitude, a submission of love. As the church has loved the Lord, which it is sure the Lord will take care of her, will support her. Even unto his own life he will give. No greater love has a man than to give his life for his friend. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave us his life. And in the relationship, in the submission, it is not only the woman who is asked to submit in love, it is the man who is asked to love, even unto death. There is one small bit of the matrimonial prayers which is said just before that, and that is where it asks the husband and wife to submit to one another. If it was submission of servitude, it wouldn't work. The Bible asks submission of love. And again, I understand. Some women may take this the wrong way and not do it to prove a point. And some men may misunderstand and misuse it. But we're not talking about misapplications. We are talking about what the Bible says. We're talking about what the Bible means. We are talking about what Christianity is about. I've been going on for too long, so we need to conclude. Galatians 3:28. I need this one read in a big, loud voice. Shirley, if you can do the honors of this one, you haven't done. You've been doing all the hard work.
There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
There is neither male nor female, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Our essential purpose of being here on this earth is to reach the kingdom. Let's not be distracted. Forget side issues. Leave side issues. Leave things which are going to distance us. Leave things which are going to distract us from our goal. Our goal is to reach the kingdom of God. Our goal is to live spiritually in a way which will lead us to God. Let's not get sidetracked. Yes, we can sit here and we can argue about feminism and chauvinism for the whole time. Where does that get us? It makes us angry. It makes us spiteful. It makes us reactive. And then it distances us from the vessel of our salvation. The church is referred to as the ark. Abuna Tedros, in his famous book, explains to us, the church of God, explains to us that the church sometimes is in the form of an ark. I'm sorry to speak to this in your phrase. It took Noah and his family and the animals from the flood to a new life. The church takes us through the dangerous waters of this world and takes us to the deep and the safe and the free port of salvation. If we start to become reactive against this, if we start turning against it because of side issues, it distances us. It can no longer save us because we don't get on the boat. We don't get on the ship. And we're lost. We're lost in the sea. These issues distance us from God, and Satan is so clever. Satan will, he knows exactly which buttons make you go. He knows what to press when. And all he wants is, he doesn't want you to reach the kingdom of God. Neither the ladies nor the gentlemen. He wants us all to be lost for eternity with him. Let's not get sidetracked. Let's look at everything in the way that the Bible has taught us. Let's look at things in the way that they are meant. Not just the way that they are applied, because sometimes they are applied wrong. Let's look at the way the Bible meant them. Let's look at the way the church has meant them. Let's look at the way they are applied properly. We can sit here and talk about exceptions all day, and you would be completely right. But we can spend our time positively and think about the rule. This is the rule. Anything that happens outside this is the exception. We cannot base our lives on exceptions. Our lives are based on rules. And our rule is that as Adam sinned and all died in Adam, likewise our Lord Jesus Christ came that we may all live in him. We all died in Adam's humanity. We all live in our Lord Jesus Christ as his sons, as his daughters, as those whom he has saved with his blood. Our Lord, when he ascended to the cross, wasn't up there just for the men. Neither was he up there just for the women. He was up there for the creation of his hands. He was up there for those whom he had created in his image and in his likeness. He was up there for those whom he hoped and sacrificed that one day they may be with him in his kingdom. There is much more to be said about this. I just hope I've given you a seed that you can build upon and think about. Let us be positive and overlook at things. Let us study, because I think a lot of us have peripheral knowledge. We have sort of side bits and pieces that we have in our own little chats that we might have. We don't study. Let's study. Let's read. And once we study and we read, then let's form an opinion. But let's form it on the right opinion, on the Bible, on the teaching of the church, on the tradition of the church, on the things which have lasted for century upon century upon century. And they are the reason that you are here today. If it were not for the Bible, if it were not for the tradition of the church, if it were not for the church and its service, you would not be here today. You would not be given an opportunity to be saved, to enter in the kingdom of God. You are given entitlement as being members of the body of Christ. You have to realize this entitlement. I thank you for listening, and I hope that truly this will give you food for thought and make us all stronger as men, as women, as priesthood, as congregation, as the one united, strengthened body of Christ. And glory be to God forever. Amen. I know I've taken up a lot of your time already, and I apologize to Sayyidina and to the fathers for taking up so much time. But I do want to say one thing unrelated. This project that Sayyidina is speaking about, this center, is a wonderful project. It is something which is going to be very, very useful for the youth. I'm telling you this because we have tried this in the United Kingdom. We have a center, we use it for youth services. Some of you will be able to get onto our website if you want and have a look at the different activities which go on. It is good to have this sort of activity under the guidance of the Sayyidina, the fathers, the servants, and you as youth together. They can't do this job alone. You have to do it with them, because this is your servant, this is your service, it's your center, and it is the way that you and your children will be able to benefit from the church. So I congratulate you in advance on this wonderful project, and I hope for Sayyidina, for the diocese, and for you all every success. And I thank Sayyidina for the opportunity he gave me to come and speak to you. Thank you very much.
We thank Ambangelos for this very inspiring lecture, and after this convincing one, we assure his safety back, and it is not the day of his martyrdom today, as he explained.